Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 to 19. May have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, one of the songs in the hymnal, The Love of God is Greater Far, vividly describes what Father God's love is like. Its lyrics were translated from an Aramaic poem, Hadamut, written in 1050. Hadamut is sung on the first day of the Feast of Weeks before the Jews recite the Ten Commandments. It serves as a preface or a prelude to the Ten Commandments. The poem goes as follows. The greater love of God can't be adequately described with words. Even if we use the entire heaven as a scroll, all vegetation as a pen, and all the waters as ink, we couldn't sufficiently describe God's great power, His glory, His love, and all the wondrous things about Him. This poem affirms God's love cannot be defined with man's language and thoughts. Inspired by God's surpassing love embedded in the poem, an American pastor, Frederick Layman, composed the lyrics of the hymn, The Love of God is Greater Far, which we sing today. In an attempt to portray the love of God, he used the words sky and ocean, which are the highest and widest. But even those words fall short in describing the great love of God. So, as we find in the lyrics of that hymn, he confesses that his love is measureless by man's limited thinking and reasoning. Dear brothers and sisters, can you imagine how great God's love is? If we indeed fathom the love of God, it's no wonder we will be more inspired and more thankful for His love. Today's sermon is based on Senior Pastor's sermon entitled, The Love of God, preached back in 2006. As we delve into the height and length of the love of God today, I sincerely hope that you will come to know the love of Christ, which surpasses the knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. First, let's go over the height of God's love. The love of God, which has been extended to us, is not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, and it is a love of the utmost degree. God has been, is, and will continually be showing such love for us. To gain correct understanding of its height, first we should know about the fleshly love, which is changeable and false. Even worldly people express love toward another person in various ways. For example, when babies start speaking, they soon learn to say, I love you. Parents teach them to say this because they want to share love with their babies. Once their babies say, Daddy, Mommy, I love you, the parents are overjoyed, delighted. When their children are young, parents adore and love them even though they don't get anything in return. In expressing their affection for their dear child, parents often say, he or she is the apple of my eye. Yet, as their babies grow up and develop their ego, insist on their thoughts, and disobey them, parents feel upset, harbor hatred, and even bicker with them over little matters, as their ill feelings intensify, they speak harsh words against them, hurting their feelings. The same goes for their children. When they are young, they look on their parents as the best in the world, but their heart changes as they grow up. They compare their parents to those of their friends. If they find their parents lacking in some ways, they even feel ashamed of them. If their parents don't grant their requests, they have complaints against them, and such things develop into hatred and resentment. Out in the world, love between parents and children is considered as the noblest and most virtuous and innocent love. Yet in reality, we see many cases where parent-child relationships have been damaged. So, what about the love between friends? Many people feel heartbroken, distressed when a friend whom they firmly believed would always be on their side but ended up turning his back on them. Some of you had close, intimate friends in the world, but they began to persecute you and distance themselves from you after you accepted the Lord and tried to live in the light, because they can no longer take worldly pleasures with you. Some people considered it wise to make friends, calculating what they can benefit from them. Nowadays, we can rarely find a person who willingly devotes his time, efforts, and money for his neighbors or friends. Then what about love between spouses, a husband and a wife, who became one flesh by marriage? When they dated each other before marriage, they affirmed, asserted, "I cannot live without you. I will love you forever." They make confessions of love with all kinds of sweet words. But what happens after they get married? Their confessions change to, "I don't want to live because of you," or, "You deceived me into marriage." The husband reproaches his wife because he doesn't like the way she cooks. If the husband doesn't make enough money, the wife begins to complain, stressing out her husband, saying, "My friend has already bought a house. She's got a new car." Nowadays, there are some married couples who hardly talk to each other and live in separate rooms. They got married because they ardently, passionately loved each other, but as they discover bad aspects of their spouses, they clash over trivial matters and their love cools down. This indicates that their love was fleshly one, seeking one's own benefit. Next, what about the love between brothers? Unlike neighbors or friends, they were born of the same parents. So, is their love any better? Of course, brothers and sisters who were born of the same parents and grew up together have deeper relationship among themselves, so they help each other sacrifice themselves for another sibling. But usually, even though they have very close relationship as young, once they get married and have their own families, they tend to pay more attention to their own families and become less interested in their brothers and sisters. During home visits, I myself meet people with disabilities or sicknesses. Some of them, however, live alone even though they have their own brothers and sisters. It turned out that they live alone. So I asked them, why you live alone while having brothers and sisters? They said, and it turned out that their siblings helped them at first, but they ended up with passing of time, and their sickness lasted long. Their hearts changed. They began to feel tired of him. And their families recommended living alone because they can get help from the government. So they ended up turning their backs on him and turning his face away from them. Of course, in this case, we can understand because they have to take care of their own families too. But in the world, in some cases where they seek their own benefit to the extreme, brothers become like enemies against each other, fighting over inheriting parents' possessions. Sometimes, so the all kinds of love in the world, it finally perishes, changes, and is false. But God has shown us spiritual love, love of the utmost degree, which cannot be even compared to any kind of love in this world. In Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16, we read, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." As God affirmed in this verses, He never forgets us, but demonstrates His true and truthful love by which He unsparingly gives us what is the most precious to Him, without expecting anything in return. Then what do you think is the most unquestionable evidence of God's love for us? As stated in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The most unquestionable evidence is His love of giving up His only begotten Son to die on the cross. Even though people rejected, opposed His word, God had pity on them for their eternal torment and anguish in hell. Thus, He wanted to save those sinners from sins and the punishment of death. But according to the spiritual law, for the forgiveness of sin, there needs to be shedding of blood, which is identified with life. In the Old Testament time, whenever people committed sins, they butchered an oxen, rams, or doves and offered their blood for the forgiveness of sins. But God intended to resolve this issue once and for all, redeeming all men from sins at once. By setting them free from the curse of the law, the wages of sin is death, He wanted to pave the way of salvation and prevent them from falling into hell because of their sins. To make this possible, it demanded that someone bear all sins of mankind and suffer death, shedding blood on a tree, because hanging upon a tree symbolizes curse. In choosing the most suitable one to carry out this task, Father God didn't call Abraham or Elijah, who were a righteous man, but He selected His beloved, the most precious, the only begotten Son, Jesus. If commanded, Abraham and Elijah must have obeyed and even forsaken their lives as well. But to redeem all sins of mankind at once, it had to be holy blood, which is utterly sinless and holy. For this reason, God had His only begotten Son, Jesus, come down to this earth and become the Savior. God let Jesus be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and take on the same form as man. The heavenly kingdom where Jesus stayed with Father God was no match for any luxurious or magnificent places on earth. Just by watching the 3D film featuring the Castle of the Shepherd, you can confirm that nothing in this world can even compare to anything in heaven. As you ride through a gorgeous garden adorned with all kinds of dazzling gemstones and elegant flowers on a golden chariot, you step inside the Shepherd's Main Castle and find a distinguished place between the first and second floors. In that magnificent space flows the crystal clear water of life, and for those who've been united with the Shepherd and committed themselves to the salvation of souls, mansions have been built to their tastes and liking. Of course, it's not possible to depict the actual images of heaven even with the cutting-edge technologies. Considering just the beauty of the space between the first and second floors of the Shepherd's Castle, the place where Jesus stayed with Father God must be incomparably more splendid and wonderful. And on this earth, during the anniversary events, we decorate the stage to describe the beauty of New Jerusalem. And even worldly people invited to our church, when they see the decorated stage, they compliment on the stage. And they say, they confess they are so happy. And they confess they've never seen such a thing like this elsewhere. Even those who have watched other kinds of performances confess like this. So when we go to heaven, when we step inside the shepherd's castle, how happy, how delighted we will be. Yet, Father God had Jesus forsake all heavenly glory and come down to this lowly earth. Furthermore, He let His Son bear all sins of mankind, be cursed, and face such miserable death, shedding blood on the cross. It was on account of sinners who rejected the Word of God, indulged in sins, and were destined for hell. For this, not only Jesus who suffered the crucifixion, but Father God Himself had to undergo unspeakable anguish. Nevertheless, Father God chose to endure the sacrifice because His love for mankind that was destined for death surpassed His anguish and distress. Even though we, humans, attain the utmost level of love on our part, our love cannot be compared to that of Father God. Occasionally, we hear heart-moving news of someone giving up his own life for another person. Let's say you love someone, and you learn that you have to die in place of that person. Would you still love that person? We also know of a pastor who gave the murderer of his own son and showed tremendous love by accepting him as his own son. But even in that case, if he had known in advance that his son would be killed and he would have to accept the murderer as his own son, wouldn't he have been hesitant or reluctant? God foreknew that sinners, His mere creatures, would persecute and mock His only begotten Son and have Him crucified. Nevertheless, God gave up His only begotten Son, the most precious one, without expecting anything in return. This confirms that even though we, as humans, attain the most degree of love on our part, that love is incomparable to Father God's love. So to speak, the love of Father God is higher than any kind of love we may see and experience and find in the world. Even though He suffers betrayal from His mere creatures time and again, He doesn't destroy them out of rage, but incessantly, consistently endures the sorrow. On top of that, He has given up His only begotten Son to save mankind. Nowhere in this world can we find this kind of love. I hope that you will be able to feel His love even more profoundly and deeply so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Next, if measured, how long do you think is the Father God's love? We read in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, "The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness." Here, everlasting means lasting forever or eternal. The verse reminds us that God's love for us is eternal and everlasting, and that He leads us with His loving kindness. Such love of God who leads us with everlasting love and loving kindness is manifested as patience toward us. Generally, when worldly people talk about patience, it refers to physical perseverance. When they suppress their ill feelings or their lust, they suffer severe affliction. They frown, clench their teeth, tremble, and struggle. Some people even refuse to eat or drink anything, do nothing but lie down in bed. or suffer from insomnia that develops into neurosis or depression when they have to discipline themselves or exercise self-control in order to achieve a certain goal. They feel distressed. But it is not so with spiritual patience. It is persevering and enduring with goodness, not with evil. Let me rephrase. The spiritual patience is not persevering and enduring with goodness. It is persevering and enduring with goodness, not with evil. When we persevere in goodness, we endure even hard moments with hope and thanksgiving, thereby expanding our heart's vessels. To the extent we achieve spiritual love, we don't grudgingly persevere but wait for the other person to change. By the way, do you think we need to be patient in heaven? Let me explain about this. In heaven are no such things as tears, sorrow, grief, and evil, but only goodness and love. There's no hatred, anger, or irritating. We don't even need to hold back or control some ill feelings. It's no wonder our God, who is love itself, don't need such things as patience. But He used the word patient in the Bible in order to make us humans understand. So, what is God's patience? It refers to His patience shown toward each and every person until the end of the human cultivation. Had God not been patient with us, the human cultivation wouldn't have lasted until today. It required His patience to create man and refine each of them to become His true children. Even while human beings committed evil, He waited for them to change in goodness. Even when they betrayed Him, worshipping abominable idols, He demonstrated that only He is a true deity and waited for them to turn back from their ways. As the governor of the history of mankind, He knew all things in advance, but has waited for people to love God in their free will and become His true children. To explain more about loving God out of one's free will, let's talk about parents raising their children. Some parents beat their children and force them to obey because they are disobedient. Suppose those parents rebuke them, saying, "Why don't you love me? Do you know how I've suffered to raise you? You must love me." If their children say, I love you. Will that bring any joy to their hearts? Only if they say, "I love you, Dad, I love you, Mom," but if they say, out of their own free will, "I love you, Dad, I love you, Mom," that will truly bring true joy and happiness. Even if they make their children grudgingly love them, it cannot be said to be true love. Likewise, our Father God waits for us to come forth as His true children who can love Him from the depths of their hearts, bring joy and happiness to His heart. Some may wonder, hasn't He suffered loss because He's been patiently waiting for us unconditionally? But it is never so. As the result of His patience, eventually He's gained numerous fruits, His true children, whom He dearly wanted. For example, in the first half of Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Until Moses became an instrument to reveal the glory of God, God had long been patient with them. Last week, Last week, Pastor Dong Tu-shin elaborated on Prophet Moses. Today, as I remind you of God's patience toward Moses until he became an instrument to reveal the glory of God, I hope that you will once again feel His grace. First, God delicately intervened in his life from his birth and through every and each step of his growth. God himself put in a great deal of time for Moses. He chose Moses even before his birth and prepared a way for him to become a leader from the moment he was born. In Acts chapter 7, verse 22, we find that Moses stood out in words and deeds, being educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, philosophy, architecture, science, literature, etc. This equipped himself with qualities required of a leader of a nation. However, after Moses turned 40, he slayed an Egyptian, burning with righteous anger out of his brotherly love for an Israelite. Subsequently, he fled to the land of Midian and settled in the house of Jethro, a priest of the land. There he lived 40 years as a shepherd. After Moses reached 80 years of age, God called him and entrusted him with a significant task of delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. From the fact that God didn't call Moses when he was in the Egyptian palace as a son of the princess, but when he was in a humble position of a shepherd, we can see God's love and patience. You heard from the Pastor Dong Tu-shin, from the fact that God called Moses as he was a shepherd, we can feel God's love. When Moses lived as a son of the princess, his physical conditions might be sufficient as a leader, but he was nothing more than a man of flesh who couldn't even control his heart and murdered an Egyptian to death. Had God used Moses at this time, Moses would have tried to get all things done on his own, rather than relying on God in all circumstances. Knowing all this, God decided to wait for another 40 years. Back at the time, shepherding was considered as abominable and lowly in Egypt. Over the span of 40 years, Moses had to renounce all what he'd learned from the palace. While tending to the flock as a shepherd, he threw away hot-temperedness and anger and developed patience needed in shepherding his sheep. As described in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. He was acknowledged by God as the most humble man on the face of the earth." God had been awaiting Moses until he humbled himself, shattered his self-righteousness and arrogance, and completely relied on God. So, do you remember what kind of a person he had become at the time God called Moses? He'd let go of himself and become a man who completely humbled and lowered himself. God called Moses and let him deliver the Israelites, who numbered over 2 million, out of Egypt and lead them through the wilderness. As we can see through Moses, God waits for each one of us to become His true child, or a pastor who can perform God's power, or a spiritual leader who can be recognized by Him. He stays patient with us for a long time in anticipation. Dear brothers and sisters, our shepherd as well has consistently taught us with the gospel of holiness. By looking at how our shepherd conducted himself, we can see the patience of God. He can clearly hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and by asking, he can receive God's explanation. So he knows each one of us' heart and deeds. Even toward those who refused to tempt themselves, he showed patience. Even toward those whom received the shepherd's love and patience, but ended up betraying him and committed unspeakable evil, but he taught us, he continually taught them and continually pray for them. Even those who committed sins, he's been patient with them so that even one more of them could reach salvation by doing so. Even those with weak faith, shortcomings, and deficiencies, he's expected them to grow into a good vessel and glorify God. The shepherd's patience is also manifested in his harboring souls. He didn't draw a line or put a limit to how long he would wait for them, like 1 year for some people or 10 years for others. He never thought like, if he refuses to change himself even after a year, I will give up on him. It's not that his 10 years of harboring and waiting for someone warrant his change. No matter what kind of sins they committed, he could never let go of them, but kept harboring them in their prayer day after day. It took 1 year for some people, 10 years for others, more than 10 years for still others. The shepherd's patience was manifested in his love for the souls who once rejoiced and marveled at his great and amazing power, but failed to circumcise their hearts, thereby taking in worldly things and being tempted by Satan to commit sins leading to death. He interceded for them and bore the accompanying responsibilities. Since 2010, he has fulfilled the justice to restore their relationship with Father God, and he has since opened wide the path for them to become God's true children. In the year 2010, he granted them an opportunity to be forgiven of sins leading to death. In the year 2011, he fulfilled the justice to have our measure of faith checked. In the year 2012, he fulfilled the justice for us to make rapid growth of faith. In the year 2013, he made sacrifice to allow a suspension period for pastors and Levi workers. Because if our shepherd had said, "Let me finish here," seeing many people repent, change, and grow in faith, his agony and affliction must have stopped, ended. But in order to lead us to become true children who God desires and lead them to New Jerusalem, he sacrificed for the standardization of spirit among the church members. This blessing is the fruit of the shepherd's patience by which he's fulfilled the 99% of the justice for the last 6 years on behalf of us. Through that sacrifice, we've been granted opportunities to be forgiven of unforgivable sins, furthermore, lead a happy Christian life amidst hope for heaven. It's been 6 years since our shepherd started fulfilling the justice for us, and many of us have stood on the rock of faith and come in the Spirit and Holy Spirit. Furthermore, in 2017, our shepherd offered peace offering, thus breaking down the wall of sin between God and us. Also, through special Daniel prayer meeting, we are now receiving the baptism of fire so that we can come forth as the fruit of the shepherd's tears. Such blessings have been possible by the love of the shepherd who lamented and persevered for many years, waiting for the souls to repent and change. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like 1 day. With his enduring patience for the souls, he has persevered for a long period of time, which is unbearable for a man of flesh. With this exceeding love for the souls, he considers such a long span of time as short, with great love of Father God. I hope that all of us can fathom that kind of love." Dear brothers and sisters, amidst the love of Father God and love of a shepherd, how blessed we are, how much we are feeling the great love Father God during the special Daniel prayer meeting. Through the peace offering offered by our shepherd, the wall of sin has broken down, and thus we are now filled up with joy and peace in our heart. And furthermore, on the first day of the special Daniel prayer meeting, our shepherd prayed for us, and he prayed that we can be changed through the baptism of fire pouring down from heaven. And through the baptism of fire, all of us have our sinful natures be scorched. And when I meet our parish members, I can see changes have been made among them. And especially during the special prayer meeting, since our shepherd prayed for the baptism of fire, I could see many of them changed. Let me share a few of their episodes. In our parish, consists of three districts. I could feel a tremendous change. In a prayer meeting, I can feel their change. And they pray in louder voice. Not only do they cry out in prayer, but they sweat and they so passionately with their fists clenched, and they pray with such longing hearts. And there is a little child, because he sees adults praying so passionately, they follow the adult members and follow them in prayer, praying like this with his fists clenched. And at a Tuesday district prayer meeting, I visited a house. The church members, my parish members, were praying with the window open. When I visit a small neighbor, there's a van driving around for advertisement with a loudspeaker. When we were praying, the van was going around, and we could hear loud sound from the speaker. And as soon as they hear the speaker, they began to pray in an even louder voice. What was interesting was the window was open. The sounds from our prayer went out. And so the van driver lifted up and turned up the volume. And in turn, we began praying in a louder voice. After some time, I talked with the parish members. I asked them, so did you hear the sounds from the van, advertising van? They answered they heard. I confessed that their prayer became louder and louder. And also, in reply, they told them, because the loud sound was coming out of the van, we couldn't help but pray even more loudly, and they began to pray with more longing. In a fleshly, involving fleshly thought, we may think, why? We thought in a spiritual way. We thought through that situation, Father God allowed us to pray even more loudly. As I see our church members praying more earnestly, and in other districts as well, when I preside over a prayer meeting, I can see them praying more passionately. Some people, I heard of a person who was healed of RP's zoster. The RP's zoster was afflicted his body. She herself didn't know what kind of disease it was. Later, her family members told them, and they look up in the internet, and what she did was not going to the hospital, but she came, she attended the special Daniel prayer meeting, looked back on herself, and repented. In doing so, she shed a lot of tears and repented before her family members of getting angry with them. And what happened next? What happened after that repentance? Her disaster was healed and pain lessened. And she says she's so happy to be healed. Let's give glory to Father God. Other than this, many people have been healed. I have other testimonies as well. And you, all of you, I think you have testimonies in your parishes.
자신이 어떤 경험한 부분들 또 체험한 부분들을 간증해 주시면서 함께 이렇게 많은 분들이 영광 돌리시는
Many people,
것입니다.
I believe many people are glorifying God through their testimonies. It is time for us to give glory to God. It is an opportunity made by our shepherd. If we take hold of this opportunity, we can feel, even though we cannot measure the love of Father God, but Father God, if we try to fathom His love, He allows us to feel His love. I hope that you will feel His love more deeply, profoundly, so that you can come forth as more beautiful fruit in this, during this special dinner prayer meeting and become more perfect fruit and become the ones whom God can share His love with. And our shepherd has been patiently waiting for us since, for some people, for 10 years, over 30 years. I hope all of you can feel the love of the shepherd and our Father God so that you can come forth as more perfect fruit through the, during the period, during the span of the special Daniel prayer meeting. Dear brothers and sisters, it's time to conclude today's message. Today, we delved into how great Father God's love is in terms of its height and length. I reminded you that God's love is not of flesh, but it is the love of the utmost degree that belongs to spirit. We looked over fleshly love, which is changeable and false, and spiritual love, to which any kind of love in this world can compare. I affirm that the most unquestionable evidence of God's love for us is that He gave up His only begotten Son to die on the cross. In discussing the length of God's love, I talked about the patience of God who perseveres with each and every single person until the human cultivation comes to an end. We recalled how God showed His patience for Moses until he could be used as His instrument, and how our shepherd has been patient with His church members. In the next session, we will go over the depth of Father God's love, manifested as His boundless forgiveness and mercy. First, we will go over perfect forgiveness and love by which one forgives even 70 times 7. Secondly, the love of God shown in the parable of the prodigal son. Thirdly, Jesus' interceding prayer for the souls. While hearing the message, could you possibly measure the height and length of God's love? As for me, even while preparing and delivering this sermon, I only found His love immeasurable. Our God has already extended the utmost degree of love by unsparingly giving us what was the most precious to Him. On top of that, even at this moment, He is leading each and every soul to salvation, to come to spirit and whole spirit with His enduring patience. What we have to keep in mind is, although God, our God, equally extends His love to us, to the extent we cultivate our hearts into spirit, we can feel His love more profoundly, more deeply. Despite the fact God loves all of us the same way, depending on how much we love Him, it is different. God assures us in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. I urge you to hold fast to this verse and figure out the love of God to a greater extent by receiving the baptism of fire during the remaining days of special Daniel prayer meeting. In doing so, I hope that you will quickly come into spirit and then whole spirit, and thus not keep our God waiting for too long. I hope that you'll all become such children of God. Let's reflect on today's message in our prayer.
할렐루야 사랑의 아버지 하나님 오늘을 우리에게 맡아내 주신 아버지 하나님의 사랑의 크기를 높이와 또 길이의 분야에서 전해 드렸습니다. 우리를 이 세상의 사랑과는 비교할 수 없는 최고의 사랑을 독생자들을 내어주신 높은 사랑을 보이신 아버지께 감사드립니다. 또 경작이 마치기까지 비조물 한 사람 한 사람이 참자로 나오기까지 인내하시며 오래 참으신 사랑에도 감사드립니다. 또 목자께서 우리를 오래 참으신 사랑에도 진심으로 감사드립니다. 아버지 오늘 들으면 말씀을 통해 또 우리 모습 가운데 변질되고 거짓된 모습들을 속히 벗어버리고 충만한 모습으로 변화되므로 또 불세례를 통해서 아버지 기뻐하시고 원하시는 하나님과 참 사랑을 주고받는 참자녀로 나올 수 있도록 인도해 주시옵소서 감사드리며 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
영상을 통해 준비된 당회자를 환자 기도를
It's time to receive the sinner pass prayers. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on the sick parts. And if you, even if you don't have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer with your heart desires. Hallelujah. Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all the believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, internet, and satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials from head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Light, come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including colds, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio stroke, arthritis, and herniated disc, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness, loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.
Amen.